Hey, so I am Will. I'm the youth pastor. This is my third and final week up here. Pastor Steve will be back next week and resume the book of John. And so just as we get going today, something I've said the last few weeks, I want to say again, I just want to thank our pastor for allowing me to do this. He did not have to. And so I'm just deeply grateful for that. And I want to say this on his behalf. I promise he didn't pay me to say this. But you guys see him on Sunday morning. Some of y'all see him throughout the week. But he works hard. He puts time in, and he serves this body, and he's the same man when he's up here and the same man when he's over there and the same man at his house and the same man when you're driving in the car with him. And so, just want to thank him for that and for being a great example. I want to thank you guys for listening. This is 3 weeks in a row that you guys show up and listen, and so I want to thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. But the biggest thank you I want to give, there's some of you guys in this room that I'm able to look up to because you are living on mission. You're living the stuff we've been preaching. And so I want to thank you for that and encourage you to continue in that. And so we've been, as it shows on the screen, and if you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been talking about living on mission and what that means, what that looks like. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the challenge of what we're called to do. And if Jesus has saved you, we talked about it. He could have saved you and taken you right to heaven, but instead he left you here. And if he saved you, he's put you on planet Earth to be a missionary, right? And so the past 2,000 years, the church has been passing the torch from one generation to the next. People who will stand up, who will share the gospel, who will disciple the next generation and live on mission. And if you're saved, there's a torch in your hands. And so our call, the what, is to accept the torch and then to pass the torch, to unify with the body, to disciple others, to be discipled, to share the gospel. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at what we're called to do. Last week, we looked at why we do it. Our why is very simply, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, we do it all for the sake of the gospel. We live on mission for the sake of the gospel. We teach Sunday school classes for the sake of the gospel. We go on mission for the sake of the gospel. We live holy in an unholy world. We do it all for the sake of the gospel. That's our motivation in all that we do. Excuse me. And so we've talked about our what and our why. This week, we're gonna talk about evangelism, about sharing the gospel. And some of you automatically are starting to panic. Don't panic. I promise we're not gonna throw you out on a street corner and make you stand on a box and share the gospel that way. If you want to, that's great. If you do it kindly, some people don't do it kindly. Okay, so this week the goal is to encourage and equip. Okay, Ephesians 4, I'll just read it very quickly. We read it week one. It says, "And he, that is God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds," that word means pastors, "and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ." And we said this 2 weeks ago, if you're saved, you're called to live on mission. Showing up to church is vital for that, but that is not our mission. You showing up today is not check it off, I lived on mission. This is where we come to get built up, trained up, and equipped, as Ephesians 4 says, so that we can go into the real world and live on mission. And so the prayer today, as we walk through sharing the gospel and how to do that a little bit, that this would help equip you so when you leave, you don't have more self-confidence, but you're dependent on God and you're like, okay, God, you can help me do this. That's the goal, okay? So the word evangelism, or the word evangelize, just means to preach the gospel. I know you cannot read that. I think that's dictionary.com, best sources. And so the word just means to preach the gospel. You might be doing that in church, but you might not. You might be doing that up here, but you might not, and you're probably not. And you're probably, when you're sharing the gospel, it's probably in the backyard, or it's over the phone, or it's with a neighbor, it's over coffee. But we all believers are called to share the gospel. I want you guys to just flip over to Romans 1 for a little bit. We'll read a couple passages in Romans. But as we do, we want to talk just very briefly about why we share the gospel. And again, this comes back to the same thing as last week. Our why in every area of the Christian life is the gospel. The gospel motivates us. The gospel drives us. The gospel gives us reason to do what we do. And it's Romans 1:16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What he says right here is that, hey, the gospel is the only thing that can change lives, okay? The gospel is the only thing that could take us from broken and lost and make us restored and whole and found in Christ. And the gospel is the only thing that God will use to rescue someone else. And he's given us that, and so we share that. I want you guys to flip over real quick to Romans chapter 10. And we'll sit on this for just a moment. But anytime I think of the topic of evangelism, sharing the gospel, my mind is always brought back to Romans 10. As Paul writes this in Romans 10, verse 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And that's a beautiful truth. But then he asks this question: how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Okay? So why do we share the gospel? We share the gospel because if we don't, who will? We share the gospel because God's put people in our life that are lost and he's given us the answer. And so we love them enough to open our mouth. We share the gospel because we love the lost. We share the gospel because Jesus loves the lost. And we share the gospel because eternity is at stake and it's serious. And so it motivates us and it moves us. I love what David Platt said. He's talking of Christians. He says this. He said, "We as Christians are God's plan A for a lost and dying world, and there is no plan B." Right? 2,000 years ago, Jesus was physically here, but then he left physically. Like, if you're saved, his spirit lives in you. But he sent us out as the church to be his body, to be his real life hands and feet on the ground, in action, living on mission and reaching the lost. And God could have reached the world a million different ways. He could today a million different ways, but he chooses to do it through the church living on mission Sunday through Saturday, 24/7, real life stuff. Okay? The gospel, we talked about it last week. We unpacked it, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and we took about 30 minutes of full service to unpack what the gospel is. But maybe in a conversation that you're having with somebody, you don't have 30 minutes, right? Like, we're busy, they're busy, and you don't have 30 minutes. And so how do we share the gospel in 2 minutes? Okay, so we're gonna look at that just really simply. Again, the goal today is to put tools in your Christian tool belt. Things that you can pull out and use in conversations to help in just practical real life ways, okay? So if you got a bulletin, if you open that up, you have a little card, we call that a gospel track. And side note is we would really encourage you to give that to somebody. Give that to a barista, give it to a waiter, and let's insert this, still give a tip, because Christians are really great at, I gave them a gospel track, they still gotta eat. Right? So give them a tip, give them the gospel track. We would encourage you, man, type this up on your laptop, print this out, and keep some of these in your car that you can just give to people, right? Like, we are allowed to do that as Christians. But you'll see 4 words on the front of that: creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And this is the gospel in a nutshell. This is the story that your Bible is telling in 4 simple words, okay? So if you're sharing the gospel really quickly, hey, there's a perfect God who made the world perfectly. He created it all. He created everything that we see. And then he created us. And he created us with love and intent and with purpose and gave us value. He put his love on us. He made us in his image. That's creation. But then here's the bad news. The fall is we've all sinned against God. Our sin has separated us from a holy God, and it's very serious. And because of this sin, we deserve death in this life and we deserve hell eternally. Like, that's the bad news. But here's the good news: redemption. And you might be sharing the gospel, you don't have to use the word redemption. They're not gonna know what that means. But redemption just means to redeem, is to buy back. And so God created, we fell, but then God still loves us so much, he sent Christ to die, to live the perfect life, die in our place, rise from the dead, and that we can be saved by repenting and putting our trust in him. And then restoration, hey, one day he's gonna make everything right again. One day he's gonna punish sin, and one day all who put their trust in him are gonna be with him forever. Can I just say this? If you're saved, you can share that. If you're saved, you can share that, okay? Very simple. We've had our students share it. We've watched 5th and 6th graders in VBS be able to share it. You can share that if you're saved, okay? So I wanna look for just a little bit at what keeps us from sharing the gospel. Because again, right when we said we're talking about evangelism, some of you guys, like, heart rate went up. You're like, I don't wanna talk to people. I don't wanna do that. I wanna stay in my room. Like, I'm just not, it's not my thing. Public speaking is not my thing. And that's fine, I get that. But again, I wanna encourage you that you can do this, okay? Some of the reasons that we don't share the gospel, these are not all the reasons, but they might be some that you relate with. I think the first one is this, and I noticed this in my own life, it's just laziness or just being distracted, honestly. Why don't I share the gospel frequently just out in public in real life? Because I don't think about it, right? Like we're busy, we're just caught up with other things. And again, those things might be good, but the simple remedy for this is by God's grace, we commit to living on mission. By God's grace, we wake up in the morning, we preach the gospel to ourselves, and yeah, we still got a presentation at work, and we got to bring the kids to school and practice, and we got to eat, and we do all these things, but we start our day by preaching the gospel to ourselves, reminding ourselves of our why, and then we say, God, use us today. And then when he brings up opportunities, we're ready for those, and we don't miss those. Okay, so I think a big one is unwillingness or just distraction or laziness, again. I think a few other ones, and all of these are, again, main ones that I've struggled with, I've seen students and adults struggle with. I think the other big three probably come down to fear, right? And I think that fear can play itself out in different ways. This is probably the biggest one right here. Fear of what others think or how they'll respond. Okay, let's do this just to be honest. If you would be intimidated to share the gospel with somebody and have fear of what they would think, just put your hand up. Okay, look around the room, you're not by yourself, okay? That's all of us. I still get scared about what people are thinking because I'm a human and I have skin on, right? But at the end of the day, we have to be more concerned about their eternity than their response right now. It's just simple, okay? It's not easy, but it's simple. There's a pastor, I don't know much about him, but I love the quote. His name is John Lewis. He said this, "I would rather have thousands say to me at the judgment, 'We heard you preach and you hurt our feelings,' than to have just one lost soul say, 'I heard you preach, but you did not tell me the truth.'" Now that's a pastor, but at the same time, I think if we're gonna share the gospel, that has to be our heart, okay? It has to be our heart to love them enough to tell them the truth. Guys, please hear me on this. I have it highlighted on my paper, so important. The most loving thing that we can tell someone is the truth, okay? We tell them truth in love. Guys, I have lost friends that honestly, again, the ugly part, but the true part, if they die right now, they're gonna be separated from God in hell forever. I need to love them enough to tell them that, but they need to see that I have compassion for them. I'm not just like, oh, stinks for you. Like, it's not that. They need to see brokenness and love and compassion in my eyes and in my voice and in my heart when I genuinely care for them. And then again, but there's such good news in Jesus. Okay, so again, worrying about what they think, I get that, we're human, but we need to be focused more on the eternal, okay? Two other big fears. One is this, fear that they will ask a question that we don't know how to answer, right? A lot of us get scared about that. What if I start and I'm sharing the gospel and they ask me some crazy question about the book of Leviticus? I don't even know if Leviticus is Old Testament or New Testament. Like what's gonna happen if they ask a question that I don't know? Okay. They might ask a question you don't know, and it's okay, right? If they do, just be like, hey, that's a great question. I don't know, and bring it back to the gospel, okay? We always, in the conversations, we're trying to get to the gospel, and so if they ask something crazy out here, lovingly acknowledge it, hey, that's a great question, I'm really not sure, and then bring it back, but I do know this, there's a God who loves you, and he cares about you, and we bring it back to the gospel. But I'll say this too, maybe it's somebody that you know, it's not a stranger, it's a coworker, it's a friend, and you're gonna see them again, it's your brother. And your brother's really wrestling with why is this in the Bible or why did God allow this and you don't know the answer, here's a great way to respond. It's a great question, I don't know, but you know what, I'm gonna study it and I'm gonna get back to you. And then you study it and you get back to him, okay? And if it's a stranger, you're not gonna be able to get back to him, acknowledge it and then redirect to the gospel. Let me say this as well. As Christians, we are called to study. We're called to study God's word. We're called to learn answers that people might ask. We're called to do that, okay? But at the same time, I could study and know every answer. I could know the top 100 questions that people ask, and they could ask number 101 and I'm not prepared, okay? So we wanna study, but also we wanna have peace that even if they ask something we don't know, we can bring it back to the gospel. Okay, one more big fear, and I've heard this one a lot. What if I say the wrong thing and it actually keeps them from God? Right, I've heard students say that a lot. What if we go share the gospel and I say the wrong thing and it even makes them more lost? Well, if they're already lost, they can't get more lost, okay? Here's the simple just thing that should give us peace. We can't go wrong by just sharing the gospel and sharing what God has done in our life. Share the good news of the gospel, share how Jesus has saved you, and if you don't know the answer to a question, don't try to answer it. Redirect back to the gospel, okay? So those are some of the big things, and everybody in this room has at least one of those or something different. So it's not just you, okay? I wanna take just a second and encourage you guys. Somebody got mad at me first service for saying you guys. I do say y'all all the time. Encouraging y'all, okay, for sharing the gospel. They're like, what kind of Yankee are you? The Louisiana Yankee? I don't know. We're not, yeah. So anyway, so encouragements for sharing the gospel. God made you just the way he wanted to make you in order to use you the ways he wants to use you. Okay? We have some people in this room that have huge personalities. You could get up here and talk to everybody and have no stress. Some of y'all, if you had to come up here, you'd rather die, right? Some of us have great big personalities. Some of us have great strengths. We're really great at talking. Some of us really aren't. But can I tell you something? God made you the way that he made you, the way exactly how he wanted to, in order to reach the people that he wants to reach. He didn't put me in their lives. He put you in their lives. And he's given you what you need in order to reach them, okay? I think one thing, if you look back through scripture and you look at church history, God uses all kind of people, great speakers, poor speakers, big personalities, people that are scared to death, all of them. The thing they have in common is willingness. And God is willing to use willing people, okay? God is able to take somebody who maybe doesn't have a lot to offer and say, I can still use you because I have a lot to offer. Okay? Another encouragement is you do not have to be a pastor. You do not have to be a theologian. You do not have to have a seminary degree to share the gospel. Okay? I've been in church like you. I've heard a lot of gospel presentations. A lot of them are beautiful, but one of the most beautiful gospel presentations I've ever heard is from this lady right here. Now, y'all don't know her and you're missing out, but this is Mama Faye. Okay? Mama Faye is Addison, my wife. It's her grandmother. And at Christmas time, we will go to Mama Faye's. We'll eat a lot of junk food, take a break. We'll eat a lot more junk food. And then we will do White Elephant gift exchange. We got White Elephant people, anybody? Okay, so the way that we did White Elephant growing up at my house, I just walk in with a $10 Sonic gift card, lay it down, not a whole lot of thought. Guys, last year we walked away with a homemade porch swing at White Elephant. Like they do it like nobody's business, crazy. Okay, so after we eat junk food and get a porch swing, trade presents, Mama Faye calls the whole family in and tells the Christmas story about a little baby that was born 2,000 years ago, didn't stay a baby, grew up, lived the perfect life, and was on a rescue mission to save us, died on a cross, rose from the dead, and through tears in her eyes, she just compels her family, many of them who do not know Jesus, and she just compels them to come to Jesus, and is one of the most beautiful gospel presentations I've ever heard. Never stepped foot in a seminary, never preached a sermon, but she loves Jesus and she knows the gospel, so she shares the gospel, okay? You don't have to be a pastor. Again, don't have to go to seminary. If they ask you questions you don't know, lovingly bring it back to the gospel. A couple more encouragements. This one, whenever this clicked for me, helped me so much. In sharing the gospel, you don't have to get results. If you're sharing with somebody and you're pouring your heart out and they're lost and you're broken for them and you share the good news, and they really don't respond the way you want to, there's no tears, they're not on their knees saying, I need Jesus right now, that's okay. I have a friend named Corey who will call me and just remind me, hey Will, remember your job is you be faithful, and then he says it like this, you just scatter and splatter. I love it, so simple. Like I can pour my heart out to you guys, to the youth, to a group at a FCA, at a high school, and nobody respond. And I can have total peace because all my job is to open God's word and teach God's word. All your job is to open your mouth and share the gospel. Only God can make the seed take and only God can make the seed grow. And when we realize that, there's a huge pressure reliever for us. Last one is this, and we kind of hit on it. Don't underestimate what God can do through you. It's not about your ability, it's about his. Okay, we said it a little while ago, but God is famous. Our God is famous for using unexpected people who are just willing to be used, okay? So I wanna encourage you guys with that. We wanna take a few minutes to just talk about how to share the gospel. And again, these are not the only ways. These are tools for your tool belt. You might use them, you might not, but a couple things before we get into this. I think the way that we share the gospel might be different for different groups of people, but the message stays the same. And I mean it like this. As I'm standing up here with a sport coat on talking to y'all in church, I might use some churchy words and say it a little bit different than I would if I'm playing pickup basketball at the park, right? The method might be different, but the message stays the same. The message is not mine or yours to change. We still use whatever strategy, but we share the gospel. Talk about the fact that we're sinners and we need a savior. And we find that savior in Jesus. Okay, and so we keep preaching the same message. One more thing that's super important before we get to how do we have the conversation is before we share, we gotta be filled up with three things. Before we open our mouth and share the gospel, we gotta be filled up with prayer. We need to have been on our knees saying, God, let my heart be right, my motives be right, guide me as I go. We need to be filled up with God's word. We need to study God's word, and you will be so amazed, and some of y'all could attest to this, as you get into a conversation, and man, God starts bringing back scriptures that you hadn't looked at for a year or for 3 months, and they keep coming back to your mind because you've studied them, and they're in your heart, and he brings them back up. Okay, so we need to be filled up in prayer, filled up with the word. We need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit and dependent on the Holy Spirit. If you have a big personality and you're a great speaker, great. Don't depend on your abilities. We depend on God. We depend on God to save. We depend on God to lead us. And so even as you're going to talk, man, you're going to talk to your stepmom. You're going to talk to your neighbor. You're going to talk to your coworker. God, I pray that before I even talk to them, you will soften their heart and work on their heart. So that when I speak, it will just be like seeds falling on good ground, okay? And so we depend on the Lord for all things. Okay, so we wanna look just really quickly. How do we start a conversation with a stranger? How do we start a conversation with a non-stranger? Family member, coworker, something like that. And again, these are not the perfect ways. I'm not the greatest evangelist of all time. I'm just trying to give you practical tools for your tool belt, okay? Here it is, 90% of the battle of how do we do this thing starts with just opening your mouth. Really does. It's like the person that's trying to go to the gym, I had a buddy. It's like, man, I just need to go to the gym. And he's been telling me this for 6 months. And I'm like, just get a 1 week pass and show up and go inside and you'll be okay. Like once you just get there, then we can start, okay, we can do this thing. We can lift weights for 10 minutes and then it builds to 15. Like just open your mouth and start the conversation. Okay, whenever I'm trying to have a conversation with a stranger, so we've taken students to Walmart, to Valley Lodge, to Bucky's, to share the gospel. And a couple of those was just students saying, hey, we hadn't gone to share in a while, can we go share again? And so if me and a student are going to talk to somebody about Bucky's, which is a great place, get an icy, clean bathroom, fill up with gas, share the gospel, you can do it. If we're doing that and we're gonna talk with a stranger, the way that I try to do it is I just try to ask good questions. And each of these questions is just building off each other in order to get to the part where I can share the gospel. And so we're walking up, me and a student are walking up to this guy to share the gospel. And I walk up, first of all, I want him to know that I'm not scary and I'm not gonna yell at him. I walk up, hey man, I'm Will, what's your name? And they're usually a little bit like, who is this guy? Why is he shaking my hand? But they'll usually say their name, say, hey, can I ask you a question? If they say no, let them go. We don't trap them. We're not gonna throw a net over them. Just let them go, okay? If they say, yeah, you can ask me a question, I just ask them simply, hey, do you believe in God? Now, it's trending downward, but most people in Texas will still say yes. Okay, you believe in God, cool. Are you a Christian? Again, trending downward, most would say yes, even if they have no idea what it means. Their mom just told them they were a Christian when they were four, and so they believed, yeah, I'm a Christian, sure. That's what our family is. So you ask them, are you a Christian? Yeah, I am, and then here's where I go from there, okay? Hey, you say you believe in God, you say you're a Christian, here's a really big question from a stranger. You're probably not gonna get asked this a lot. One day you're gonna die. When you do, are you gonna go to heaven or hell? And some of y'all are like, you said hell at Bucky's? You can, it's okay. Most people don't freak out and you can just ask them the question. And here's the usual answer. Oh man, I'm not sure, or I think I'm going to heaven, or I hope I'm going to heaven. And then just question, how do you know? Well, man, I got baptized. I hear that all the time. I got baptized when I was 7. That's great, so good. Doesn't save you though. Well, I go to church, good. That's great, it doesn't save you. Hey, has anyone ever shared the gospel with you? And then you just walk them through 2 minutes through the gospel and then encourage them to respond. Again, they might respond right there. They might fall on their face and give their life to Jesus. They might not, okay? But your job is to just scatter and splatter. And I love what, there's a guy named Greg Keichel who wrote a book called Tactics, really great on how to share the gospel. But he said at the end of every conversation, at the very least, what I've done is I put a rock in their shoe, right? He's like, you've all had a rock in your shoe and it's annoying and you just try to ignore it and you keep going. Eventually, you've got to deal with it. And he says, so what I'm doing is when we have this conversation, We're putting a rock in their shoe and they can try to suppress it, but the Holy Spirit's gonna work on it. Eventually, they're gonna have to deal with it, okay? So ask good questions. One other really good question that has helped me with strangers and with people that I know is this. Hey, if Jesus really is God and he really does love you, would you wanna know him? Just a good question to get people thinking. They might, church hurt, or hey, I had this professor that convinced me that God isn't true. If he really is God and he really does love you, would you wanna know him? Again, put a rock in their shoe. When they're ready to talk, you can talk more. I'll give you one more quick example of this. Actually, when we were at Bucky's, one of the students said, hey, can I take this next conversation? Can I lead it? Absolutely, go for it. And I don't know if this guy had ever shared the gospel before. He did a great job though. We walk up to three high school students and he goes, hey guys, are y'all good people? He did the good person test. He said, are y'all good people? And they were like, yeah, we're good people, yeah, yeah. And so he said, can we do a good person test? They were like, yeah, we'd love to. And I think he even said, if you're a good person, I'll give you $20. I'm like, this kid's brilliant, right? And so he walks them through. He said, okay, good person. So walks them through the 10 commandments, just a few of them. Okay, have you ever told a lie before? Oh yeah. What do you call someone that tells a lie? A liar? Yeah. Okay, that doesn't look good. Have you ever stolen anything? Yeah, what do you call someone that steals things? A thief. So what are you? I'm a liar and a thief. It's like, and he just walks them through a few of the 10 commandments and he goes, so we got bad news. You're not a good person. You're just like me and you're like the rest of the world, but here's the good news. Jesus came to save you, right? Guys, there's a lot, again, a lot of different methods that we can use to just get to, here's the gospel, and we share that and we unpack that. Okay, there's a group called Living Waters. I use them a lot. Our church actually walked us through how to share the gospel through them when I was a kid. And you can just go on YouTube and watch, and there's a guy named Ray Comfort. He goes and he does the good person test and asks people this question. Beautiful job of this, but they also have, I know I sound like I'm promoting them, a lot of gospel tracts, like the ones kind of in your bulletin that you can just give people, pass out. And so, ask good questions, do a good person test, any way to get to the gospel. Okay, really quickly, how do we have a conversation with a friend, family member, coworker, neighbor, somebody like that? Again, the biggest thing is just opening your mouth and starting the conversation, okay? One of the advantages we have in this that we don't have with somebody at Bucky's is you can build a relationship with them. You can earn trust with them. You can listen to them about whatever they wanna talk about, and as you listen to them, they become more likely to listen to you. And so we build a relationship with this person, they see that we care about them, and then we share. But here's the warning with the build a relationship thing. We can also use that as an excuse, and we've been building a relationship for 10 years and we still hadn't shared. At some point we open our mouth and we share the gospel, okay? I think again with this, a really good way to start a conversation with your brother, with your stepmom, with your neighbor, with your coworker, with a friend, ask good questions. Again, it might be that you're sitting at work and the TV's playing and there's something on the news, something crazy that happened yesterday. And if nothing happened crazy yesterday, wait till tomorrow and we'll have something crazy, right? And they're going on and on about, man, our world is just so messed up. And then you just ask a good question. Oh, I actually agree. I think it is. What do you think is the biggest problem in our world? And they go on this huge spill about, oh, it's this and this. And then they say, well, what do you think? Well, I think it's sin. What do you mean sin? And then you unpack the gospel, right? They're talking about something and, hey, I'm really trying to figure out what job I'm supposed to be in. And you just ask them, hey, big question. We actually talked about this at church the other day. What do you think our purpose is? Like, why do you think we're here? They go into this thing, well, I don't know, I'm trying to find it. What do you think? Man, I think God's given us purpose and he made us in his image and we get to share the gospel. We're just asking good questions. Guys, it could even be as simple as you're just sitting with your dad and you have a good idea of what he believes about God, but you say, Dad, has anyone ever shared the gospel with you? And you just take 2 minutes to walk your dad through it because you don't want to assume that he knows Jesus when you're not sure, right? And so we just do this and we ask good questions. I was actually talking to my wife, Addison, about this. We were in the kitchen talking about this message. And one of the things she said, and I'm so glad she did, is this. As we live on mission, the things of God will naturally and regularly come up in conversations. To the point where, man, if you've really committed, again, none of us are perfect, but you've committed, God, I wanna live on mission, I wanna be intentional. We talk about the things that we love. We talk about the things that we think about. And so as we're having conversations, those things are naturally gonna come up in our conversations. Okay, I wanna show you guys one really quick video. This is actually a college in California, the way that they did some of the ministry, just a simple evangelistic tool. And if these guys can do it, I promise you can do it. So let's watch this real quick.
What is a gospel appointment? It's simply an appointment to share the gospel. It really mixes some of the best practices of relational evangelism and initiative evangelism, and it creates a really good intentional, relational way to get to know someone and then really lay out the gospel to them and give them a chance to respond to Christ. And so my wife, Christy, and I, 7 years ago, started doing these with students when we started Christian Challenge at Chico State. And we started with just the two of us and meeting students, and since then, God's built it over time, and we've seen hundreds of students make professions of faith in Christ. And those students learning the gospel appointment tool and turning around and leading others to Christ. And this school year, we saw 128 students make professions of faith in Christ. And that's been mainly at those one-on-one gospel appointments.
Gospel appointments have been really helpful for me because I'm not naturally a go-getter. And so when I started catching the vision for sharing the gospel with others, having a tool that I could walk through with somebody so easily, like a gospel appointment, helped me to take initiative.
I tend to be more shy and reserved, and so it helps me share the gospel clearly and go through all the points. This semester I've been able to share the gospel with 8 girls, and they've come to Christ.
When you have that one-on-one meeting, you know, just it creates that atmosphere of being just one-on-one and in relation.
Having an opportunity to share with somebody in a very clear way, and using that time to share illustrations and verses bring a lot of clarity to help them understand the gospel.
They're really natural to set up, and whether they say yes or no to accepting Christ, it's really easy to set up a follow-up for the next week.
It doesn't take a lot to share the gospel with somebody and them to really get it, understand it, and then go out and share it with somebody else.
Gospel appointments just have given me the confidence to use my heart for evangelism in a very effective way.
And we do this with everyone that comes to any of our college ministry events. And we simply jump in after we make some small talk and say something like, hey, it'd be great to get to know you better, tell you more about what our group's all about. You want to grab lunch or coffee sometime? We get their number, we set up a time to meet with them, and then once we're at the meeting, we follow a 3-story outline. Their story, your story, and God's story. And it provides a great way to get to know them, share your heart, and then also lay out a full gospel presentation and give them a chance to respond to Christ.
So I came to Christ about 2 years ago through a gospel appointment. And at that, you know, at the end of it, I just felt really convicted in that, and I knew that I needed Jesus in my life.
I was shared with through a gospel appointment, and it really helped clarify things for me. And I felt really loved in having someone share with me that way.
That initial gospel appointment that made it so clear for me what God's done for us has given me the confidence to do gospel appointments with other girls, and I've actually led one girl to Christ since that happened.
And Cody approached me, and he went over the gospel twice with me, and then I received Christ that day. It was really straightforward, like what he explained to me. It just all made sense to me.
What's actually really cool is that I have a gospel appointment right now. I set one up earlier this week, and it ended up being right after filming this, so go do that.
One day I was out of town for a conference, and I got 6 different text messages from student leaders letting me know that they had led someone to Christ that day. Imagine what it would be like if every ministry that's watching this video, every ministry across the nation, led their students and staff into an intentional and relational strategy of sharing the gospel. How many of the 17 million college students would have a chance to hear and respond to the gospel?
Okay, so really simple strategy. Again, more tools in your tool belt. Take them to coffee, spend $6 on a latte for them. It's worth it. And then just ask them their story. Let them talk. Ask them questions about what they believe about God. People want to talk. They want somebody to listen. And then tell them your story and tell them the gospel. Tell them God's story. Guys, if you're saved, this is something we can do. And I'll say this real quick as we wrap up. A few weeks ago, a few months ago with youth, we asked the question, if you were the devil — it's a funny question to ask — but if you were the devil, what would be your main goal? And the students had some really great answers, but one of the students said this. He's like, if I was the devil, my main goal would be to keep Christians quiet about Jesus. Exactly right. Okay, but by God's grace, he's not gonna do that. By God's grace, we live on mission. We encourage each other. We come in. And so here's the challenges we leave today. Okay, on your bulletin on the front, it says wanted. Okay, we're not going to get anybody, no guns, nothing like that. Okay, we want you to take this home, write one name on it, put it on your fridge, put it in your Bible, put it in your car, something. Pray over this name. It could be somebody in your family, again, friend, neighbor, whoever. But put their name on there, pray for them, and look for an opportunity. Ask God for an opportunity, look for an opportunity, and then let's share the gospel with them, okay? And as I say all that to you guys, I've got two people on my heart. I can share with y'all and be okay. Two people on my heart I'm scared to death to share with, okay? And so I love the fact that in the end of Ephesians, after challenging and encouraging everybody, Paul, the big, great apostle, says, y'all pray for me to have boldness. Guys, I'm in the same boat as you guys. We're praying for each other to have boldness, and by God's grace, we're gonna go and we're gonna share the gospel, okay? Let's pray. God, you're good. I thank you that you gave Paul boldness. Thank you that you give us boldness. God, I thank you that you're with us, and while the enemy tries really hard to scare us, and he might have accomplished his goal up until now, by your grace, he will not this week. God, I pray that you'd help us live on mission, help us be the church and encourage one another in this room to live on mission. God, I pray for those two on my heart that I've been scared to death to share with. God, I pray for the people on the rest of our hearts that we're scared to share with. I pray that you'd remove fear, give us opportunities, and help us take advantage of those. And let us see souls come to Christ, and then we can come alongside them and disciple them and hopefully pass the torch to them. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.